Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Tanya Ebert, author of a book called Mystical Puzzle, which was released about a year ago, and it's about her journey following an accident in June 2007. Welcome to the program, Tanya.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mike.
Now, I announced you in that way because it was from the time you had the accident that I suppose one would say your life dramatically changed. But to get some measure of what that meant, I guess you ought to tell us what type of person were you prior to that?
Prior to the accident, there was not a religious bone in my body. I didn't even know that metaphysical even existed. I was very much in tune with spirits because since I was a young child, they've made themselves very much known to me, but I didn't know what it was. I just thought I was a haunted person, and of course I didn't talk to anybody about it because when you talk to people about that, then they think you're crazy. Before the accident, I was very much into a life of partying, drugging, drinking, and there was a lot of, you know, childhood abuse and whatnot as well, and life was not easy growing up, that's for sure. It was very challenging.
Right. Do you think in any way that you led that type of life as some sort of protest about your earlier experiences? I mean, was it a case of that you felt in some way abused and then you wanted to do whatever you wanted when you had the opportunity?
I'm not sure I'm understanding where you're coming.
Well, I'm wondering if your love of partying and being an adrenaline junkie was in some way escapism from perhaps your younger years.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, very much so. I think a lot of people, they, you know, and when I see it in people now, you think it's a place to escape, but really it doesn't take you from any of that pain. It might for, you know, a few hours or a day or so, but ultimately everything comes back. But I definitely was an adrenaline junkie. I never really looked at it that way before until now that my eyes are open. It's like, wow, like I'm lucky to be alive.
Right.
I used to think I was a cat with nine lives, but I later discovered that I've had this amazing team of angels and other beings that have been taking care of me all this time.
Right, that's quite a change, and I must say you presented the question which would make people very curious about what you experienced by saying, what would you do if you went to bed one person and woke up another? Now,
yeah.
Explain a bit around that. I mean, presumably you were knocked unconscious in the accident, and when you sort of came back, you had a different attitude or approach?
No, it wasn't like that at all. I had the accident in June of 2007. And
yeah.
Basically, the doctors, they told me, oh, you should be fine. You'll be, you know, walking in a couple of days. We don't know what's wrong with you. And I'm, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I'm like, there's something seriously wrong with me. Like, I can't move a millimeter in my bed without screaming. Like, I can't move, period. And it's all coming from my leg and my knee. I had a dirt bike accident. And this went on for quite a while. It was 4 months after my accident when I finally was able to go in for surgery. And I tried telling the doctors prior to that my leg was actually stuck. And they told me, no, that's impossible. Legs can't be stuck. And I'm like, no, my leg is stuck, I'm telling you. And they thought I was just over-exaggerating and, you know, maybe faking it a little bit. So I had surgery. And while I was out under anesthetics, they tried to force my leg straight and force it bent, and they couldn't. So that's when they knew. They're like, oh, she was right. There really is a serious problem here. Mm-hmm. It was in August of 2008, by that time I had just completely given up. Like, I was in a lot of pain. I used to be a very active person, and now, you know, I'm stuck in bed, stuck in this wheelchair, in a lot of pain. My friends don't get it. My family doesn't get it. The doctors don't get it. They think I'm over-exaggerating. And at that point, I was ready to just give up on life. I had felt that, you know, there was nothing left inside of me. I couldn't cry anymore. I felt that I was just a complete shell. There was nothing left of me. I was completely dead. And I remember rocking back and forth, asking for help. And it's like, well, who are you asking? There's nobody here. I didn't believe in God, so, you know, I wasn't certainly asking him. And it was a couple days afterwards, I saw this, you know, this link on my computer to Sedona, which I didn't know that place existed. And something told me that I need to go there. I need to go there. They're going to be able to help me, because at this point, I have another surgery coming up. It's well over a year after my accident. They still don't know, you know, how to fix me. I'm still in excruciating pain. And so I thought, you know, I need to figure this out. I went on a retreat. It was not a group setting. It was a, you know, one-on-one retreat in Sedona, Arizona. Yeah. And that's when things started to kind of change. Like, I had some experiences there that I can hardly put words to. And when I came home, that's when I went to bed, you know, this completely, my old self, Tanya. And then when I woke up after I'd come home from Sedona, after being there for a week, I woke up not Tanya. I went to, you know, I was quite suicidal and ready to give up on life. This person that woke up was in this state of bliss. I was in love with life, and I didn't care if my leg healed or not, if I was going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, because at that point, like, something magical happened, and every bit of pain and trauma I've ever felt in my life was completely lifted away from me. Yes, I experienced it, but there was no trauma or emotion attached to it anymore.
Well, now, Sedona is noted as being something of a mystical place. Was there any particular reason why you were going to Sedona?
I came across, you know, this website by fluke on my computer, and something deep within me told me I need to go there. And I just glanced at the time, and it's 2:22. I see triple numbers. Ever since I came home from Sedona, I see triple numbers, like, several times a day. I removed clocks from my house, and I still see them.
Right. Now, you've mentioned a few times already reference to what must be your guides or angels, etc.
Yes.
Was it only from the time that you had the accident that you were aware of these people? Because I think you initially mentioned something that happened in your childhood. So was it an ongoing thing for years and years and years?
There was, I guess I've always, I would consider myself, and I would try and explain it to my friends as having a sixth sense. But I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew that I was a little bit different than a lot of people. I knew things. I didn't know how I knew things. Predicting things sometimes. I remember once I started hearing a voice after I came back from Sedona, guiding me to do things, looking out the window and showing me things. And I suddenly remembered that voice from when I was a child, an experience when I was about, I guess I was about 11 years old. My sister would have been 3 years old at that point. And me and a friend, we were camping out in the backyard. We had a little fire, our tent set up. And my sister, you know, was out there with us. And me and my friend were running around the yard chasing each other. And I heard this voice in my head that said, go to the fire. Your sister is going to fall in. And I never questioned it. I just ran. I didn't say anything to my friend. I just changed course of, you know, from chasing her to going over to the fire. By the time I got there, my sister did fall in it, but I was right there to pull her out, like, immediately. So, I mean, it could have been worse. I did not tell my mom or my friend that a voice told me to go to the fire, that you know, I tried hiding that my sister even fell in the fire in the first place because I thought, oh, we're going to get in deep trouble. So I tried to get my sister to stop crying so that Mommy wouldn't know that she actually fell in the fire in the first place.
Right.
But I remember that voice from when I was a child. And
happened very many times?
Actually, hearing voices, that's not something that it happened frequently as far as I can remember. And I've only seen, you know, spirits in, like, full apparition. Like, that's very rare. It's more of a feeling of knowing. Like, I can feel things. I feel things.
Yeah.
Energies as they're coming, like if there's something happening, like for instance, I was driving towards the town that I live in, and I was looking up in the sky, and I was just like, something's happening. I just know something's happening. Something's happening right now. And by the time I got into town, a big windstorm came down, and it looked like a war zone had just happened. But I didn't know that was happening. I could feel it. I didn't necessarily know what it was, but I feel when there's huge shifts in energy.
Right. So is that one of the events that you mention in your book? Because you've actually said that at a certain period, for a couple of years, you had been experiencing events that you never knew existed. So tell us a little bit about that.
I'm sorry. I think you just cut out a little bit there at the end. I couldn't quite hear that.
Right, yeah. Well, in your book, you mention a period of a couple of years when you had been experiencing events that you never knew existed. And I wondered if
Right.
you'd like to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. When I woke up, that new person, the first thing was, I mean, utter bliss, like a feeling of immense love and happiness for no apparent reason, just because I woke up kind of thing. And, you know, I was just like, wow, what is this? This is amazing. I've never felt anything like that. And then I went from that to going to, like, whoa, what's going on? Like, who are you? And I literally started looking underneath my bed, in my closet. I went in front of my mirror, and I'm touching my face. I'm like, okay, that's your face, but where did you go? And then I started, you know, eventually started looking up and screaming, what did you guys do to her? Like, you know, because I knew that something, like, whoever was inside me was not me. And, I mean, it was a good thing. It was a good thing, but it's like, what happened to that person that wanted to kill themselves and, you know, that was just in a lot of deep emotional pain? I was just, you know, from there, I was led on a journey to, you know, sometimes hearing voices or all of a sudden, you know, okay, get your shoes and coat on. We're going out. And I'm like, excuse me? Who said that? But I'd get up and I'd go, and I was led to buy all these different things, and I completely changed my house around. Like, I got rid of my TV, my furnishing, I figured I don't need furniture anymore. I do have a bed, but, like, living room furniture, you know, kitchen table, and that kind of stuff. I got this outdoor gazebo tent and set it up in my living room and I've got waterfalls and, you know, big fluffy pillows and stuff like that. And, you know, I was being guided to look out the window. At one point I was guided, it was 5:00 in the morning, and I hear this voice, go to the window. And I'm like, what? I'm like, where did that come from? Like, I, you know, my mom and my nephew were here, but they were sleeping at the time, and I'm pretty sure they didn't hear it. And so curiously, I went to the window, and when I went to look out my window, I've seen stars like I've never, ever, ever seen before. Like, I was just like, wow, is anyone else seeing this? Because this is so amazing. Like, I've never seen anything like that. And the following morning, I did ask some friends if they just happened to, you know, be out at 5:00 in the morning and look in the sky, and they're like, no, we saw stars too. They've never seen anything like that as well. And I got called to my window during the daytime. Same voice, you know, go to your window. And I thought, wow, I know what they showed me last time. What are they going to show me in the day? So I went to, you know, my bedroom window again, and I looked out. It was a nice, clear blue sky and not a cloud in sight. And I saw this ball of light traveling, and I was like, what the heck is that? Like, it's not a plane, because it's like, it's literally like this ball of light. And as I was staring at it, there was like light particles, like sparkles kind of like coming towards me, and I got a little mesmerized by them, and so I started following the little sparkles, and then when I looked back, that big ball of light was gone, and I realized something, some very strange things were going on, hearing voices. I started questioning my sanity, but it's like, but I know I'm not insane, because this is the sanest I've ever felt. It's not like I'm being shown bad things. I'm being shown pretty, really neat things. And so I called one of the practitioners in Sedona, and I'm like, okay, something's going on here, and I know you guys can help me, so you need to, I'm ready to hear whatever it is that's going on here. And she told me that she could channel my guides. And at that point, I didn't even know what channeling was. I didn't know about any of this stuff. I was, giving terms in my head to look up on the computer thinking it's going to be no silly, there's no such thing. But no, there was a wealth of information. I started Googling human angels because I didn't know what to make of all this stuff that was happening. And I made an appointment with her to channel my guides, and it was during that session that my whole entire life now made sense, and why I felt so different, and who's been calling me to the window, and, a lot of my, childhood experiences and stuff that, I might not have remembered. My entire life and the people in it have now completely made sense. And what an eye-opener. I was told, it was so funny, they told me in Sedona that I was there to awaken, and in my head I'm like, excuse me, can't you see? My eyes are awake. I'm awake. I didn't know that they meant the kind of awakening that they were talking and referring to. I didn't know that stuff existed. I didn't know, any of this. I did not know. I started arranging things in formations, and only to find out I was doing very symbolic stuff, but I shouldn't know that stuff. I was not, brought up or taught any of that stuff, but somehow inside me there is a lot of information.
Well, I gather from what you said in your book that you were told by someone else that the changes, in you and your level of consciousness was something that took another person 7 years of hard work to reach the same level. Would that be a correct interpretation of what you meant by that?
A woman, the channeler, basically explained to me, when she went through the change, it took her 7 years of hard work and knowing that kind of, level of consciousness existed. I didn't even know what the word consciousness meant. If someone had said that word to me, I would have been, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. Basically, and for me, it was kaboom. My box exploded literally overnight, and I didn't know there was a box around me. It was really kind of amazing, but also kind of scary at the same time, because it's like I didn't know, once I started diving in, all of a sudden started buying books. I went from, watching soap operas to reading, and I bought $1,000 worth of books and just started filling my head with all this, different stuff and learning about, angels and ETs and consciousness and healing. And I discovered through this journey that I can channel healing. And in fact, when the doctors gave up on me, I started using crystals on my leg, and after 6 months of using crystals, I don't use a wheelchair, I don't use a walker, I don't use a cane. I can, go on hikes, and I might not be able to jump, if I'm standing on the counter sort of thing down to the floor, but I can certainly move about.
Right. So just getting back to the accident you had, then, what did you actually do to your leg? Was it fractured, or did you actually break it?
No, they really, to this day, I'm still confused as to what happened, because there was no break. And when I went to go for an MRI, I had so much scar tissue inside the knee that they still don't know what's going on in there. And I kind of have a feeling that a lot of that scar tissue is kind of holding it together in some sense, because I see a chiropractor once a month, and he's told me that there's definitely something not attached inside there, but we're just basically working on strengthening the muscles around it, and I also do Reiki healing to myself every day.
Right. Yes. So are you used to having this higher level of consciousness? I mean, when you woke up and you said you, in effect, changed overnight, that was quite a shock, presumably. But have you got used to yourself by now?
Now, yeah, it's been, I guess, wow, it's been 3 years. I'm used to it now, but I'm telling you, at first, like, I question my sanity all the time. And, in fact, I had some of my friends even called mental health on me. Yep, I had mental health come for a little visit to see if I was schizophrenic or psychotic. Funny, when I was suicidal, they put me on a wait list. But if you're talking to angels, suddenly they come to your door right away. So they came for a little interview and discovered that, no, I'm not psychotic, no, I'm not schizophrenic, and they apologized profusely, and I let them know to keep an eye out for my name because I'm writing a book, and they just made it in my book. So I got a whole chapter on that little visit when they came, and yeah. And then, I was afraid to tell anybody what was happening, because that's exactly what I thought was going to happen. They're going to think I'm nuts. They're going to think that I'm crazy, that I fell on my head one too many times, that I did too many drugs in the past. And I knew that was not the case, but it did happen. And so, I was, questioning myself again. But then there was, a couple of friends that saw me on a daily basis, and they're like, you're not crazy. Yeah, you've changed, and you're not the same person. They're like, but we see you every day. You're full of light. You're happy, and that's all that matters. So never mind what those other people think. You're not crazy. We see you all the time. And
right.
But changing, absolutely. My sister, right, when she picked me up from the airport, she phoned our mom ahead of time, and she never told me this till much later, but she phoned her mom ahead of time and said, I don't know who I picked up. It's her body, but they did something to her. That's what she said. They did something to me. She goes, whoever I picked up is not Tanya.
Right.
So she knew right away that there was something definitely different, because she's the one that dropped me off at the airport just, 10 days prior. And yeah. And I came back with about 50 crystals that I had bought, in which I had no idea why I bought in the first place, but I was drawn to crystals and started showing them all my crystals, and they're like, what is going on? And when I first arrived in Arizona, I bought a 60 ounce of whiskey, and I was quite excited because it's much cheaper in the States to buy than in Canada, because I'm from Canada. I just about jumped out of my wheelchair because it's about $40, $50 cheaper. And then by the time I got home to unpack it, I looked at this bottle. I'm like, the heck am I supposed to do with this? And then I was like, who said that? And now I used to be quite the drinker. I used to, several times a week, not just a couple. I would overindulge, and all of a sudden the whole booze habit was just like, I have no interest in it anymore, which is kind of nice, because I like to wake up not feeling hungover.
Yes. Right. So you gradually got used to yourself, you have said.
Yeah.
But apart from your personal awakening, do you think there was any other purpose? I mean, the fact you're writing a book now means that you can share your experiences and help other people. But is that as far as it goes, do you think?
No. I believe that there's a reason for all of this happening, and including it was that accident. The reason for that accident was to show me that I can, heal myself, and I truly believe that we can all heal ourselves. We're our own masters and our own healers, and I would like to awaken others to this, that there's a bigger peace out there, and I feel that when I woke up, and as I started learning, my entire life and foundation has been based on lies, and I want to share some truths with people. I believe that everything that has happened in my life was for a reason, for me to be able to help others. How are you able to help others through their pain unless you've really gone through it yourself? And I believe that I'm here to help the earth and the people on it.
Right.
I don't know how that really looks like. I am just staying open and just, each day just guided to what am I supposed to do today kind of thing. Mm. But I really do believe that I am here for a purpose.
Yes, it sounds very much as though in the time that you had, shall we call it a conversion, you must have learned a lot, because the way you speak suggests that you're very spiritually well informed. Has it been that way with you? I mean, with all these guides and channels and things, I mean, and you said you read a lot of books. Have you taken in so much information that you can already act, I suppose, as a teacher in some ways?
Yeah, I do believe that I am here to teach, absolutely. And whether that be in front of a classroom or whether that be just walking down the street and running into a complete stranger and somehow having something to offer to them, that happens quite often where, you know, you get these meetings with people, and whether it's something for me to hear or for something for me to share with somebody else, I do believe that I definitely am a teacher in some ways. Or I should say some ways, but in all ways. There's a lot of the stuff that I learned, it was almost put inside my head first, and I'll be like, what is that? Sometimes I think I'm being a little over-imaginative, and I'll go and Google it, and, you know, all of a sudden what I just had in my head, it's already out there, and there's many people that are already talking about this, and I'm like, wow, this is before I've even read a lot of stuff. Like, some of the stuff that I really think is like, am I, Tanya, that's way, way, way out there. Like, what are you thinking? And then I'll see, you know, on the History Channel that they're having a whole, you know, series on it, like Ancient Aliens. I started thinking about that. And then there's this series that they have on there. And I'm like, wow, like out here I thought I was just being very over-imaginative. And there's people out there that think a lot of the same stuff that I do. And it's not, I didn't read it, you know, it's because it's almost like stuff gets downloaded into me and I wonder about it. So then I go and I dig and look for information and find that, yes, other people are talking about this.
Right.
Thankfully for other people putting the stuff out there, or else I really would have thought I had lost it. Had I not gone to Sedona, I would have not known where to go for help or to help me to understand what was really fully happening to me, because I was told through that channeling, regardless of what was going on in my lifetime on that day, there was an alarm clock that was set to go off. So regardless of what path that I'd taken up until that point, kaboom, I was going to be woken up. So if I didn't go to Sedona and I just, you know, woke up like that, I would have probably be in a mental institute, because I wouldn't know that, you know, this was a spiritual experience and an awakening, because I had no clue. I didn't know that stuff existed. That just wasn't in, you know, in my space and time. In fact, and if someone told me that I had written that book, a few years prior to all this happening, I would have thought, like, yeah, that's a good trick of how you did that, because I wouldn't have written such, you know, crap, basically, because... Yeah, I would have thought it was a little kind of crazy if, you know, any of my friends came up to me and told me that kind of stuff. I've been like, okay, perhaps we should take you to the doctors. And then all of a sudden this stuff happening to me, and it's like, oh, dear. So, yeah, it's kind of neat that it happened that way, because I wouldn't have believed it myself, only I'm experiencing stuff, so I can't not ignore it. And that's what's, you know, driving me to learn more about consciousness and stuff.
Right. Now, you've mentioned channeling a few times. Are you talking about the channeling of information to you for your purpose, or do you mean that you have done channeling?
Other people have channeled information for me. That's how I discovered a lot of the stuff of what was actually happening with me. During that channel, my guides are off-world energies, and they told me that I very much have that ability to do that myself, but I feel that there's some sort of blockage still holding me back. There's still I'd hate to admit it, but I'm going to admit it, fear, because I have also had experiences in the past with dark energies, and I don't want to accidentally bring them in. So I want to make sure that I really know what the heck I'm doing. before dabbling into something, you know, the unknown.
Now you you use the expression there, off-world energies. Would you go as far as to say some sort of contact with extraterrestrials?
I believe that I am an extraterrestrial. I am from elsewhere here in human form.
Right.
The night I got called to my window and I was shown a group of stars, I didn't know what those stars, they were just, to me, those they were just some brilliant stars that I saw. When I had the channeling session to try and find out what the heck is going on with me and who keeps talking to me in my head and showing me stuff, the channeler told me, well, it was actually my guides coming through her saying that you are us, we are you. And I asked, well, okay, if I'm from somewhere else and I'm not from Earth, where exactly am I from? And they told me from the constellation Orion. At this point, I did not know what Orion looked like. So after that channeling session, I looked up Orion on the internet and just about crapped my pants, because what was staring back at me was the star group that called me to my window one night that I was, they felt like they were trying to communicate something with me, only I didn't know what they were trying to communicate, but I was just, and it's ever since then, I'm a starseed, and I believe deep down that we are all from elsewhere, but I don't go around telling people that because maybe they're not here to discover that in this lifetime. If they're meant to, they will.
I guess part of the acceptance of what you have just said may be easier for people if, like you, they believe in reincarnation. In other words, if this is not your first and only life, the question you come from or who are you, bears some meaning, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that, when I learned that, I mean, I hid that for a good couple of years from, you know, my family and friends, because when I heard it, that, you know, everything in my life made sense. It's like, wow, that's why I've been so different. That's why I know things that other people don't know. And I can get inside people's heads. I don't try to, because I think that's very invasive. But sometimes, like, it's like something, I just get blips of what's going on through people's minds when I'm with them, or I can feel their feelings and stuff. But I hid the whole starseed of being not from this earth, in fear of people not accepting me. And I'm happy to say that most of my friends and family have accepted me just as who I am. Time I do sell a book to a friend or family member, it's like, uh-oh, they're going to know now. 50% chance they're not going to be in my life anymore, and they're going to think I'm a complete crackpot.
Yeah.
But it's something that feels so true to me. And I'm hoping that by coming out of my closet, I know there's many, 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 many more people out there like me, that it will inspire them to not be afraid to, you know, come out of their closet, wherever that may be. You know, just everybody should be able to live their truth, whatever that may be, without repercussions.
Yes, I believe that indeed that is so. Now, you mentioned the TV series Ancient Aliens. I had one of the people on that series as my guest, and that was interesting. But have you seen both the old series and the new one?
I watched season 1, 2, and now season 3 is on.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you see these, obviously, they do cover a lot of evidence of, they call them aliens, I'd like to call them extraterrestrials.
Me too,
having been on the Earth for, on and off, for thousands of years. Now, what is your view about that?
When I watch those programs, that information feels very true to me. I believe that ETs, you know, at one point used to walk the earth with us. And I believe that they are, I mean, I believe, I guess, that they always have, but for whatever reason, nowadays, they're coming in, you know, with the human, in the human form, like the soul consciousness is that of extraterrestrial, but borrowing, I guess, like the human form body. I'm not sure if that's because, you know, if we, you know, there was a time that we used to get killed for that kind of stuff if you show any kind of like strangeness or abilities. So maybe that's why we're coming in the human form, because I think that they used to be, you know, somewhat, or some of them in a humanoid type form, but I also believe that there could have been different forms that used to walk the earth, you know, way back in the day that was accepting.
Right.
But I think a lot of them may have, people might have mistook that as those were gods, because they could do these extraordinary things that, you know, that they couldn't do. So that could be something as well, that they might have thought they were gods, but in fact they were, you know, beings from other places, other worlds, or other dimensions.
I agree with that, yes. I totally agree with you there. Now, the fact that you have been linked with Orion, I'm guessing that you've probably found the Egyptian ancient history very interesting in that respect, because they seem to have a lot of links with Orion.
Yes, absolutely. I had a breath and sound session in Sedona where I experienced something I will try to put into words, but there sometimes there just are no words to describe some of these experiences. And what I was doing was a continuous circular breath while listening to music. And, you know, before the session, the practitioner warned me of some of the things that could happen. And I have to be honest with you, I mean, I believed at that point a lot of stuff. This is before the, you know, the big awakening. I believed in, you know, spirits and ghosts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But she was telling me all kinds of strange stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know about this lady, but okay, I'll entertain you and I'll breathe like you tell me to. And so I did it. And lo and behold, something like, it felt as though there were some sort of, like, electric prongs attached to the bottom of my feet and filling me with, like just so much energy that my body was, like, flapping around, and I felt like I was going through this tunnel that was, like, sparks of energy, and I was being whipped around, and it was just like, what the heck is going on? Like, I can't, like, all I'm doing, like, I know that my body stayed where it was, but there was a part of me that went completely somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, I ended up in Egypt, and I'm, you know, I look up and I see the Great Pyramid, and I've never been in Egypt, but I've seen pictures. So I knew I was there, and it was just so strange that I didn't know. It felt like I was the ground. Like, I don't, it was weird because I felt like I was the ground, but because I couldn't see like a person or a being or anything. And at that point, I had to go to the washroom so bad that I had to stop the session. And I didn't go back to where I was, but, you know, I definitely ended up in Egypt. And then learning that the Orion's belt lines up with the pyramids of Egypt and all these different kind of coincidences that just came into my time and space. And Egypt very, very much interests me, and I so badly want to go there. Like, there's just, I think that it could possibly open up a lot more just being there on the land. And before my accident, I was actually planning a trip around the world. I was going to take off for a year, go backpacking for a year around the world. I knew absolutely nothing of sacred spots or power spots. But now looking at the itinerary that I was planning on going, I didn't end up going because I had the accident. Every single place I picked was a power spot. And yet I didn't know that power spots existed. Some of those places I picked simply because I liked the name of the way it sounded, like Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
I liked the way it sounded, so I'm like, I'm going to go there.
Mm.
I like the way it sounds.
Right. Well, I mean, Machu Picchu is a very ancient site, and no doubt if you have a little bit of knowledge of our real history, it must be a very interesting place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, the Mayans, I'm very drawn to Mayan culture as well. although they seemed a little bit sadistic at some points, you know, with the human sacrifice and stuff. Mm. But I am very much drawn to that culture.
Okay, let's move on to something slightly different here now. Tell us how you came to make a 17-minute video, which I believe was of a musical nature.
I'm sorry, something just totally cut out there.
Yes.
I didn't quite hear
I'm asking
that.
You to tell us how you come to compose a 17-minute video, which, if I remember correctly, is some sort of musical content.
Oh, for school. Yeah, I'm enrolled at the University of Metaphysical Sciences, and for our bachelor creative project, I did, part of it is a music video, and a part of it was explaining a little bit about my journey. And that's just one of my passions that I do is make music videos. I've actually made one for my master's creative project as well, and it was basically just on, it's very uplifting, the second one I did. I did it to the song Peace Train by Cat Stevens, and it is on YouTube. But it's just basically, it was just a journey of me from birth to going through Sedona to, there's a time in there when I was 22, I committed suicide. I did die, but I was brought back. And so that little bit is in the video where I show myself running and leaping into a ball of light, and basically someone in a hooded figure telling me, nope, it's not your time, you're going back. And so I came back. I think at that point they told me it's going to get a whole lot worse, but just trust us. Just trust us. It's going to be really good at the end of it. The way I look at it is sort of like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And I believe there's going to be a shift in consciousness that's going to be just like that. I don't know what that feels or looks like, but it's just, there's just something very big coming. I'm not going to say that it's 2012, 2020, 2040, but I believe it's this century, and it's going to be what might feel like pain at first, like just sort of like my knee. It was so much pain at first to go through, but in the at the end of that pain was something magical and beautiful.
Hmm. Well, there's certainly a lot of talk at the moment of there being a large amount of energy reaching the Earth from outer space. And of course, you'll undoubtedly know, since you're aware of the 21st of the 12th, 2012, that there is supposed to be a great alignment between our sun and the central sun. And it's a point of apparently of a big upliftment.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, and I thought, oh my, because if what happened to me happens to everybody, like literally overnight, there's going to be a bunch of people running around that they're thinking that they're absolutely crazy. Like there's, you know, there's a part of me that's like, come on, people, wake up. Wake up, right? But then if it happens like that so dramatically, like that could be kind of frightening. So hopefully some people will learn how to raise their vibration so it maybe might not be as such a big blow to the system. Because, I mean, I was also told that what happened to me when I went through that change, my body wouldn't have been able to handle that. Like it would have killed me before, and I guess at 3 years old, something in me was trying to awaken, and it was there was I was told that the energy just couldn't support me then. So I had a lot of the traumas that I went through at a young age was to keep me basically shut down and in the box.
Right. Now,
Said all that, I would not give back any experience that I've experienced, even, you know, the trauma and the pain, because it all really taught me something greater that I could, you know, you can't learn growth without sometimes feeling a little bit of pain.
Yeah. Now, on my program, I've had quite a few people who've come on to talk about near-death experiences, Would you care to tell us a little bit about the time when you went over and they told you to come back? I mean, can you give us a bit more detail about that?
I do not have conscious memory of that, but when I put that video together, there was all kinds of strange stuff coming through, and it was just like I can only attribute it to something deep within me does remember it, but on a conscious level, I don't. In the video, I show myself running into a light, and then a hooded figure saying no, and then me looking like hell because I just want to die and be swallowed up by the earth, says, okay, I shake my head, okay, I'll go back. And then I show tears of blood coming out of my eyes, and that's basically how I felt for, I guess, the first, you know, 35, 36 years of my life, that slowly I was always crying inside these tears of blood. Yet I didn't know that, you know, about Mother Mary statues, crying tears of blood, or anything like that. For some reason, I have a strong connection to Mother Mary, yet I'm not religious by any means. In fact, when I was 5 years old, my Nana, she's Catholic, and she used to take me to church. And they were all lining up, and I thought they were lining up to get candy. And she told me it was bread. And I'm like, no, it's candy, and I want some too. And she's like, it's not candy, it's bread. And you know, you haven't passed communion, so you can't go and get it. And so I told her at 5 years old, and I'm like, well, if I don't get what they get, I'm not coming back here, and I'm not drawing pictures for Father Peter anymore. And from that day forward, I never went back to church because they wouldn't give me what I thought was candy, but it was only bread. But I thought, if they're getting it and I'm not allowed, it's just like, this doesn't seem fair to me. So I didn't go back, and I was 5 years old then. I had quite the opinion of church by 5 years old because I couldn't understand, you know, I guess at some, on some level, well, I went to Sunday school once and I came back telling my mom, don't you ever let me go back there again. And she's like, why not? And I said, because they're liars. And I mean, I'm only 5 years old, so I don't know how a five-year-old would come up with something like that, but I had a very strong opinion, and I had no one to guide me either way. It just, that was just something that I went to, you know, Sunday school once. I went to church a couple times with my Nana, and at 5 years old, I decided, nope, that's not for me. I'm not going there.
Well, quite clearly, when you think of how far you've developed now, that wouldn't really have been your choice anyway, had you even known a bit more about religion, would it?
Exactly.
It wouldn't have fulfilled the knowledge that you were probably seeking.
Well, you know, inside me, I have a built-in BS detector, and I feel it so strongly in my body. Like, anytime I'm forming a deep friendship with someone, I always let them know, by the way, if you lie to me, I'm going to know, and I'm not going to like it. So it's so funny because sometimes my friend will come over, and all she does, she'll you know, I'll be greet her at the door, and I'll look at her, and I'm like, you're hiding something. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, it's written. I can feel it. You're hiding something you don't want me to know. And she's like, how do you know that stuff, right? And I'm like, because I told you. And it's not nothing that's like, you know, vicious or bad or anything. It's just something like, you know, she's hanging out with an ex-boyfriend that treats her poorly, so she knows she might get somewhat of, she calls it a lecture. I don't necessarily call it that. But, well, yeah, so anytime I go somewhere and it's not, and there's, you know, someone's not being truthful, I feel it very strongly in my body, so it can be very painful to, you know, go for a walk down the street kind of thing sometimes.
Mm. Well, I have read, in fact, that when you get into the higher levels, you can't lie without people knowing that you are lying. So what you've experienced is apparently what is quite the norm in some of the higher dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for me, like, because I've always been able to see through people, when I'm feeling very, like, you know, when there was times that I was, you know, before the change, that I was very suicidal, I wouldn't go out, leave my place simply for the fact that I didn't want someone to look in my eyes and feel what I felt, because I just thought that, well, everybody can, you know, everybody was sensitive, but I guess people aren't. because quite often I see things well before, you know, the average person kind of notices. Like, I'll point it out to someone, and they'll be like, what are you talking about? And then they'll be like, oh, my God, you're right. How did you know that? And it's like, I feel it. It's just, it's, things come to me. Like, I haven't mastered the gifts in a way where I can just, you know, go just like, you know, if someone says, well, what am I thinking? It doesn't work like that, right? Things just kind of just pop there when it's meant to kind of pop there.
Yeah. So you're not actually telepathic as such, but you do sense people's energies, and somehow you seem
sometimes
to be
that
able...
can have telepathic stuff, like, you know, some friends that were close, you know, will kind of look at each other and we'll know, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not something that I can control. When it happens, it just happens.
Yeah. Have you ever used it to your advantage? I mean, has it saved you from getting into maybe trouble or things like that?
Oh, yes. When I'm speeding, do you know what I mean? I have cop energy, too. For some reason, my guys don't want me getting in trouble with the police, and I tend to have a lead foot, so it's funny. But I also do this thing where... before I get in the vehicle, I do this thing. I give Archangel Michael permission to completely take over the vehicle if it, you know, means saving myself or another from undue harm. And I also let, you know, I put out there that when we pass the police, they see nothing but the speed limit, that we're only doing the speed limit, even if we're doing 10 or 20 over.
Yeah.
And you know, quite often I will hear that, slow down, and sure enough, there'll be like a radar kind of up ahead. So that certainly helps. And I do, when it, you know, if something is about to kind of happen, I do get the feelings. Like, I took my nephew to this creek way out kind of in the mountains, because I live, you know, out in the sticks. And we were only there for about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden I told him, grab your stuff, we have to leave now. And he's like, but Auntie, we just got here. And I'm like, we have to leave. And he's like, but why? And I'm like, I don't know, just come on, we have to go. And so we got out of there, and I told him, we'll go to another lake. We're not going home. We just have to leave this area. And I found out in the local newspaper that came out the following week that a dead body was found there. So I don't know if they were dumping the body then. Were they coming to dump the body? Was the body already dumped? But something told me we need to leave. And that's not the first time that's happened. Another time it happened, and this is, again, way before my change. It happened when I was at my aunt's place, and I had this, like, again, this sick feeling that, you know, me and my friend were going for a walk along the river, and it's like, we need to leave here. And she's like, why? And I'm like, I just don't feel good. We need to leave. I couldn't tell her because I didn't exactly know. But again, a week later, it was all over the news that the woman that was, you know, abducted from her Surrey tanning salon was found, and it happened to have been a woman that I went to high school with.
Right. Now, Tanya, we're actually coming to the last couple of programs, believe it or not. Would you like to tell our listeners your web address so that they can make inquiries about your book?
Sure. My address is www.mysticalpuzzle.com.
Right, that's mysticalpuzzle,
all
without
one word
on the end.
Right.
Yes, okay. And do you sell the book direct from the site or Amazon or whatever?
Yeah, I sell my book directly from my website as well as from my publisher's website. All the details are on my website if anyone is interested.
That's
if they get them
yeah.
from me, directly from me, I autograph the book. But when they come from the publisher, they don't get autographed there.
I should think listening to your stories, it would promote quite a bit of interest, because there are certainly interesting experiences that you've had. So I wish you every success with the book, although, of course, as I mentioned, it's already been out about a year. But that's fine. Thank you for coming onto the program, and especially
thank you so much.
At such short notice, because that's very kind of you.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for having me. And I have to say thank you to BBS Radio for doing what they do, because I have to tell you that a lot of people on, you know, the BBS Radio have really helped me, because had, you know, if it's not for the people coming out and talking about these kind of experiences, some of us may think that we're actually crazy. And so thank you to BBS and all the people that share.
Thank you very much. That's kind of you. Now, I've got time to quickly tell our listeners that next week I'm having Jeannie Townsend on to discuss her book, The City of Light. And I've already sent some details out some weeks earlier. So this is really a must-listen-to program about the City of Light, which I've termed as a place of healing. And, well, please join me. I hope you enjoyed it this evening, and I look forward to having you with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.